With us this morning is Trita Parsi, award-winning author and 2010 recipient of the Graumeier Award for Ideas Improving World Order. What was your purpose in coming through New Hampshire?
I was speaking at the New Hampshire World Affairs Council in regards to the situation between the United States and Iran. As you all know, President Trump just essentially cheated on and left the Iran nuclear deal that was negotiated between the United States, six other countries, and Iran between the years 2013 and 2015. And talking about what this means and if there is a risk of a military confrontation between Iran and the United States, but also telling the story of how this deal actually came about in the first place, because it is quite a unique achievement, and explaining the tremendous diplomatic skills and creativity that it took in order for the United States to be able to achieve this rather unique nuclear arms deal.
Well, now, depending on which media outlet people get their news from, it was either a scathingly brilliant idea or it was the worst deal on the planet. What are we supposed to believe? What do you want us to believe?
Well, this is interesting because this is quite reflective of the times that we have in which our country is so polarized right now. But I fall down on the idea of thinking that this is a triumph of diplomacy, which is the title of my book as well. I'm, of course, a bit biased since at the end of the day I was an informal advisor to the Obama administration during these talks. But I think if you do look at actually what happened and the tremendous difficulties and the challenges that existed, then I think it's very difficult to draw the conclusion that this was anything else. Of course, there are criticisms that one could level against this deal, but that exists against any type of a deal. By definition, a deal has to be a compromise, so everyone had to give something to get something. But if you, for instance, compare it to the handshake that President Trump had with the North Koreans, and then later on declaring that the nuclear threat from North Korea is now part of history and not active any longer, I think it's quite clear that the Iran nuclear deal is far superior, particularly mindful of the fact that the U.S. intelligence came out and revealed that the North Koreans actually are continuing to build a secret nuclear facility that they had not declared earlier on.
Well, and now walk me through this, because not long ago, I believe it was last month, Benjamin Netanyahu came out with documents after document saying that the Iranians were violating the spirit of the agreement and they should not be trusted.
Actually, he did not say that they were violating the spirit of the agreement. He said that they had been cheating on the non-proliferation treaty 20 years ago, which was not news to anyone. All of the things that he revealed were already known by most intelligence services and, in fact, already documented by the International Atomic Energy Agency, precisely because of the violations that the Iranians had committed 20 years ago, was why the nuclear deal with Iran this time around was negotiated in such a way that the inspections and verification regime was at the very center of the deal in order to make sure that they would not be able to cheat. Now, Netanyahu had his own purposes for coming out with this.
He did.
And tried to make it appear as if this was a major revelation. I was watching it, expecting him to come with a major revelation, and I was quite underwhelmed by what was in that presentation of his. But we should not forget that Benjamin Netanyahu has been pushing the United States to take military action against Iran for more than 15 years. And what he's seeing right now with the Trump administration killing the deal is an opportunity for him to be able to actualize his goal that he's had for quite some time.
Now, would there actually be, in your mind, a war between the United States and Iran, or would it be a continued proxy war that we already have?
I don't think there's a proxy war that is taking place right now. Right now, there is an economic warfare that the Trump administration has started by trying to reignite the sanctions regime. And the risk that that carries is that if the deal fully collapses, and that would mean that the Europeans are incapable of upholding the deal without the United States, they're trying very hard right now to save the deal. But let's say that they failed to do so. Mm-hmm. Under those circumstances, it is extremely unlikely that the Iranians would not restart their nuclear program. And once they do that, and they walk out of the deal, and they kick out these inspectors that I mentioned earlier on,
correct,
I think you will see the very same people who are saying, well, this is a bad deal, we need to have a new deal, are going to be on TV arguing, well, the Iranians have started a nuclear program, so now we need to take military action. Just imagine the headline, Iran kicks out inspectors.
Sure.
It gives you flashbacks of from the 1990s. So, unfortunately, I fear that the structure of the situation is such that it is quite likely that unless something is done to save this deal, that the United States and Iran will soon find themselves on a path towards war again.
Wow, that's not encouraging.
Certainly not, and that's part of the reason why I think it was a huge mistake in the first place to walk out of this deal. A deal that was working, a deal that the IAEA had issued 11 reports testifying that this deal actually was functioning.
Well, you know the president, not hot for the deal. You know that John Bolton, former UN ambassador, he is not hot for the deal. So when you see that, you can't be inspired with a lot of confidence.
Certainly not. This is a very scary situation, I would say, because with people like John Bolton, he's been on record for more than 20 years arguing for military action against Iran. I mean, he even penned an op-ed back in February of this year before he entered the administration arguing for preemptive nuclear strikes against North Korea. So this is not a person that in any way, shape, or form has tried to establish himself as a friend of diplomacy. On the contrary, he's done everything he can to provide military solutions for every problem that exists.
We had
and I think ultimately...
I'm sorry, we had Ambassador Bolton on the air shortly after that op-ed because I wanted him to try to explain it, and he pretty much did what you just said, explained it that way.
Yeah, I mean, one thing one has to say about John Bolton is that he's not trying to pretend that he's something else. To a certain extent, I appreciate that. A lot of folks that are pushing for military action are actually pretending that they're pushing for other things,
right,
but in reality, exhausting all other options in order to make military action the only remaining option. But with Bolton, he's actually pretty straightforward. He wants war, and he said it.
Yeah, no, that's true. Now, for people in New Hampshire, people in the United States, looking at the Mideast, depending on the media coverage, again, that we see, who's got the most credibility in the Mideast? Is it the Russians? Is it the Iranians, America, or the Saudis?
It depends on what you mean with credibility. I think credibility is in very, very small supply in the Middle East right now. But one can say this, that over the course of the last 5 years, the Russians have successfully established themselves as kingmakers in the Middle East. They're a country that have put assets on the ground and who have essentially the capacity to talk to every side in the region and also have a positive trajectory in their relationship with all countries in the region. This is putting them in a very good position to be able to be the decision maker on how things evolve and what kind of deals can be struck. This is not a position that they had earlier on. They were not a particularly strong player in the Middle East just 10 years ago. But it tells us how fast things are shifting in the Middle East right now and how strongly the U.S.'s dominance in the region has essentially become a part of the past right now.
So would the Russians be part of any equation between the United States and Iran, do you see?
Well, the Russians are part of this nuclear deal. They were strongly opposed to the United States walking out of this deal. So, and it's going to be very difficult, I imagine, for the United States to recreate a sanctions regime that would actually get Russian buy-in. So in many ways, by taking actions of this kind, the Trump administration has significantly isolated the United States, not only in the region, but globally as well.
Is there, some people have said, well, the United States just needs to get out of the Middle East and walk out. Is that feasible?
I have to say, actually, I'm not entirely unsympathetic to that view. I think that strategic significance of the Middle East is far less than what it was 40 years ago. And the United States has far more important challenges taking place in East Asia right now than it has in the Middle East. And in reality, the real peer competitor to the United States in this century will emerge out of East Asia, not out of the Middle East. So with that in mind, the United States is currently overcommitted in the Middle East and undercommitted in East Asia. So I do think it is the right thing to start initiating a process in which the United States tries to make sure that it no longer has that strong of a military footprint in the region and is working towards a solution in which we have a new security architecture in the region who guarantor is not just the United States, but the countries in the region themselves really have to step up and shoulder the burden for their own security. I think the Iran nuclear deal actually was a step in that direction because the United States got all of these other countries involved, and it was a deal that they all were contributing to. And I think we should have continued on that path in order to be able to disengage from the Middle East in such a way that it doesn't leave it in complete chaos, because if it ends up becoming complete chaos, there's a high risk that it will suck back the United States into it. It was the responsible way of disengaging, but disengagement, or at least a reduction of our military footprint in general, I think absolutely is a good idea.
You worked with the Obama administration. Now the Trump administration has gone 180 degrees the other way with respect to Iran. Do you see any way that we could shift gears and go 180 degrees or 90 degrees back?
It's going to be extremely difficult because going back to your earlier question about credibility, the Trump administration right now has very little credibility. The idea that the Iranians would come back to the table and trust an agreement with the Trump administration is very difficult to see. In fact, very few countries at this point would trust it, mindful of how not only the Trump administration has walked out of the Iran deal, they walked out of the Paris Agreement, they have put forward a bill in which they want to essentially walk out of the WTO. We're seeing Trump now going to NATO next week, and he's even hinted, he's been joking with some European prime ministers that the United States should pull out of NATO as well. Under these circumstances, it's very difficult for any country to take America's word at face value.
Trita Parsi, you were in New Hampshire at the behest of the World Affairs Council of New Hampshire. I'm sorry we missed you. But as events change, hopefully we can get you back on the air so that you can tell us what we actually need to get out of these news stories, not the way they are portrayed in the news media.
It'd be a pleasure. Anytime.
Excellent. Trita, the best, and thank you for at least coming back to New Hampshire on the radio. We appreciate that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.